And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof. And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you, and when you came out of Egypt, and what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, and Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in the earth beneath. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house and give me a true token, and that you will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren, my sisters, and all they have, and deliver our lives from death. And the men answered her, our lives for yours, if you utter not this our business, and it shall be when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. Then she let them down by a cord through a window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you. We thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for the great privilege to be in this place. Lord, I'm thankful for your salvation this morning. I'm thankful, Jesus, you died at Calvary for our sins. And Lord, we stand in this place. We need some unction to preach. Lord, I pray, help me not be in word only, God, but with the power of God, I pray. And Lord, I pray you would deal with hearts this morning. If someone's come into this place, Lord, lost, never been saved, God, I pray that you'd convict them, Lord. And oh, God, I know that you'll point them that they can be saved. We love you, Jesus. We need you. May everything I say and do be to honor and glorify you. We appreciate you greatly, and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Now, Joshua chapter number 2 may be a familiar Bible story to you, but just such a wonderful chapter. It opens up with Jericho living in the shadow of judgment. Now, you can read about Jericho, the fear was on the place. At one point in the scripture it says, I believe it's chapter 6, that nobody was coming in and out of the place. The fear had been on the land, and Jericho was living in the shadow of judgment. We see this here. There are two spies of Israel had entered Jericho. They were spying out the land, and Jericho is known by its great big walls that were its main source of protection. And in some ways that these walls would be a sense that they could never be brought down to a degree, but that's until God shows up. And I want to say something to you this morning. These spies, when they came in and the king of Jericho heard it, they sent for their capture. But in the midst of this land, there was Rahab the harlot, and she took these men and she hid them, and they escaped down a scarlet thread. Now, God had told Israel that He was judging these nations for their sin. And I want you to see this today. The Bible tells us in Deuteronomy chapter number 9, verses 4 and 5, it says, but for the wickedness of these nations, the Lord doth drive them out before thee. But for the wickedness of these nations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out. Now they were being judged for their sin. And I want to tell you that we see here and throughout Scripture that God is going to deal with man's sin. There is nobody that will escape the judgment of your sin. Now, I want to say this to you. You say, well, why would God do this? Listen to me. When we get a scriptural view of who God is, God's holiness requires that He deals with sin. It's unfortunate that in the day we're in, there's not enough recognition to the scriptural presentation of who God is. Above every other characteristic or thing that we could describe about the Lord, I believe the Bible's pretty apparent. There's one thing and the principal thing that God wants us to know about Him. He is love, and it's wonderful. And He is gracious, and thank God for it. And He is merciful, and He's eternal. But can I tell you the one principle that ties everything together, the one attribute of Him that makes Him who He is above anything else and everything else, is that God is holy. And the Bible teaches us that we see illustrations in the Old Testament, as we see given in the Gospel in the New Testament. I think it's amazing how you can see the Gospel in its presentation. The Gospel is presented negative before it gets positive. You know what, the part of the Gospel we don't like? We don't like the part that deals with who we really are. But Christ died for our sins because we're sinners and we sin and come short of the glory of God. The Bible declares us there's none righteous, no, not one. And we see here in this passage of Scripture, they were being driven out and being judged because of their sin. Now, I preached on this last week, and I'm not going to preach here, but here's a verse out of Revelation 20 and 12, and I want you to notice this is the last judgment. This is the great white throne judgment where man has dealt with their sins. And may I say something to you today? There's only two places that sin gets dealt with. It got dealt with at Calvary when Jesus died on the cross and paid the penalty for your sins. And if you will, by faith, repent and trust Christ for salvation, listen, your sins have already been paid for. But if you die in a Christless condition, may I say, the only other way to pay for your sins is an eternity in the lake of fire. That's the only two places that it's been dealt with. But the Bible says, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Those who die without Christ will be eternally judged and punished for their sin. That's the Bible. That's not my opinion. That's the Scripture. And you say, well, I don't believe you, preacher. You don't have to believe me, but you better believe God. Because this is the Word of God that I have right here and read from. You know what the Bible teaches us about judgment? The Bible teaches us in John 3 and 18 that those who have not by faith received Christ in salvation are condemned already. Listen to me, if you're here this morning and you've never been born again, do you realize you're already under the condemnation of God? You're just waiting for the punishment. You've already been pronounced guilty. It's not of, when you get to the great white throne judgment, if you die without Christ, it's not there that you're pronounced guilty. You're already guilty now. In John 3 and 36, do you realize that the Bible teaches us that those who have not been born again by faith in Jesus Christ, that the wrath of God abides on you already? And we need to know this about sin. Numbers 32:23 says, but if you will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. May I say that there was nothing Jericho could do themselves to escape the judgment of God. You cannot, listen to me, you cannot save yourself from your sin. You cannot do that. No man has ever done that. We see the Old Testament is a schoolmaster, which it means is a teacher. And you know all the Old Testament, when we look at that and the law that was given, it was to show man, the law was given with the purpose, not that man could live to it. It's impossible we could live to it. The law is holy and right. That's what the Bible teaches us. The law is perfect. But the law was to show us that we can't live to God's standards. And we've sinned and come short of the glory of God. And you know what it was purposed to do? It was purposed to point us to the Savior. That's what the law was for. That's what it was given in the Old Testament. And the Gospel teaches us we cannot save ourselves. And listen, you cannot do anything on your own to get away from the judgment of your sin. But good news. I'm glad that there's a God in heaven that sent His only begotten Son. And you know what we see right here? In the middle of Jericho, a place where judgment was falling, There was a lady here. We're going to talk about her in a minute. But I'm glad that God came to where she was. And he met her right where she was. And I'm going to say something to you here this morning. You could have a list of sins that could go on and on. I don't know all about your life and I don't need to know all this, but I know this, that if you're lost, hey, he'll meet you right here today. He'll meet you right where you are in your life through all the sins and all the things you've done. Hey, listen, Christ died for those. You can be saved this morning. Now, as we see verses 9 through 17, Rahab had heard what God had done 40 years earlier. Can I encourage you here to something, especially with our new converts? Let me say something to you. Your testimony matters. I don't know how that she got word of what took place 40 years, but it's amazing how I took history for however many years I was in school. I can't even add those up. All these years I was in school. But you know what? There's certain events I can think back to and remember, but there's a lot of history that I just couldn't tell you off the top of my head. But isn't it amazing after 40 years have passed by in a land that had nothing to do with this, that there was a testimony to a lady about what God had done and how God used this. And notice, she knew that he parted the sea, and she knew how they walked on dry ground, and she even knew closer that she had heard about how they destroyed the kingdoms of Og and Sihon. These, they were utterly destroyed. And she said, here's what her hearts did. They melted. They became unstable. She realized what all sinners have to realize first. There's nothing I can do. When you realize you're lost, you realize that I've fallen short and there's nothing I can do about it. Stay with me. But then we can see that in the midst of this, that God began to point her to himself. And she testified to this. You have to think about this. 40 years prior, I don't even know how old Rahab is at this point in time. She may have been a little girl when this took place. They're in a different land. They're nowhere near Jericho. This all is taking place. But she had a testimony of what God had done. And she realized there was nothing she could do. But then she began to say this, for the Lord your God, he is the God in heaven above and the earth beneath. She began to get a right view of who God is. When you see the God of the Bible, you'll understand who we really are. The biggest problem we have for people getting saved is they don't want to agree what God says about us. Man didn't write the Bible. There's no way they would write in there about how wicked we are. For the heart is deceitful above all, desperately wicked and deceitful above all. Man would not write that. Man would say, well, we're not that bad. That's how we are. People want to think of themselves that way. Listen, when you're lost and you realize you're lost, you realize who you are in the light of God's Word. And that matters. But I'm glad that there's a God in heaven that don't want to leave you that way. She got a right view of God and she realized that she would perish. She also realized that she could not save herself. And she entered into a covenant with the Israelites. And here's what they said to do to be saved. I want you to notice verse number 18. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window, which thou didst let down by. And thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. The instruction was to bind that scarlet in the window, and those that were under the scarlet thread when the judgment fell would be saved. May I say something to you here this morning? If you, listen, don't want to perish eternally, if you don't want to die in your sins and trespasses, all you simply got to do is you got to get under the crimson flow. You got to get under the scarlet thread. Hey, there's been a way made. And this is a great picture of what Jesus did at Calvary some 2,000 years ago. He shed his precious blood. Hey, and it's there because of the blood of Jesus. I'm not going to hell. hell. My sins have been forgiven. I've been given eternal life. Why? Because I got under the crimson flow. If you're lost this morning, you need to get under the blood of Jesus. You need to trust the Lord for salvation this morning. Now, I want you to know a few things. They couldn't just know about it. That wasn't enough. Listen to me. You can't just know about salvation. That ain't gonna save you. You can't just have some sort of head knowledge about what Jesus did at Calvary. You may have heard the gospel message before, but just hearing that is not enough to save you. Notice what they said. They said you gotta be in underneath of it. It couldn't be on the outside. The knowledge was not enough to save them. They had to be under the scarlet thread. And I want you to say something to you. Knowing about Jesus and knowing about salvation won't save you. Knowing about church, that's not enough. Listen, paying tithes and coming to church and getting baptized and all these things that this world offers and says these things, listen to me, none of those things will save you and give you eternal life. None of those will. They all have their right place and purpose, but it's not in and for salvation. Those are things that are from salvation. They follow that. But I want you to grasp this morning. If you look at verse number 21, it said, as they finished talking, and she said, according to your words, so be it. And she sent them away and they departed. And notice this phrase. And she bound the scarlet line in the window. May I say something to you? She didn't waste any time. Can I say something to you? If you realize you're lost, don't think about getting saved next week. You need to understand that the hour and the moment is now. You say, well, why is that? Here's the thing is, we have a certainty of uncertainty. The Bible teaches us this. There are some things that we're certain of. It is appointed unto men once to die. That's certain. The Bible teaches us, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Listen, here's the certainty is. The certainty is you have no idea what's going to happen in the next 7 days. You have no idea what's going to happen in the next 45 minutes. You may have an idea, you may have plans, you may have dreams, you may have wishes, but let me say something to you. If you're here and you're lost, you ought not even wait till the end of the message. You ought to just come get saved now. She didn't take no chances. She realized that she could not save herself. She realized that if she was going to be saved, she took the word of God that was given to these men and she said, I'm going to put it up right. I don't even know if she left the window. Listen to me. Don't leave the window of opportunity when the Holy Ghost is dealing with you. Don't leave and go and find something else. You know what she didn't do? She didn't run down to Kroger and get something. You know what? She knew they were coming, but she didn't know when. And even on the times, the days, there were 7 days they went prior. For 6 days, they went around that wall 6 times a day. They never said a word. On the 7th day, the walls came down. They completely fell flat. They had no idea when it was coming. But she said, you know what? I got things to do. Let me say something to you, sir or ma'am. There's nothing in your life that's more important than getting saved. There's not a career. There's not a desire. You name it. Let me say something to you. Right now, if you're standing at the window of salvation and you can be saved, don't put it off. Don't go outside. Hey, get under the scarlet thread. You had to be under it. And she did not put it off. She was sober to the reality is she needed to be saved. She didn't waste any time. She didn't wait any longer, but she bound that thing up. Judgment is coming. Stop wasting the days and the opportunities that you have. Get on. I don't know if you can still do that. I don't get the paper, but you used to be able to get the obituaries for free without having to. You got 9 more visits to this website before they lock you out, right? Go and open it up. That's just in this area. I haven't looked up the statistics in a while, but I think I'll look it up eventually. I think it's about 150,000 people die every day. There's so many thousand people that die every single second. Judgment is coming. Judgment is fixing to fall. You need to get under the scarlet thread. You need to get under the blood of Jesus. You need to not go out. I want you to realize that when this was going on, let me say something to you. As we get into this passage and you read it in Joshua chapter number 6, their safety was found underneath of the flow. She realized there was nothing in Jericho worth going outside for. Once you get in, you'll realize there wasn't nothing going out there worth to start with. There wasn't anything out there in that life, the way that we lived, or whatever it was. There's nothing worth that. I'm telling you, once you get into this thing, He's wonderful. I'm telling you, He's wonderful. But she realized this. And I want to tell you, say, well, preacher, you're pressuring me. You're trying to persuade me. You're absolutely right that I am. You know why? Because I understand once you get, hey, listen, once you die, there's no second chances. There's no other opportunity to go backwards and to change it. I don't know a lot of things. You might live 50 more years. I don't know. I don't know how long it may be that you have, but here's what I know. It's certainly at some point, if you live long enough, as Tom says, you will die. And you're going to face judgment. Rahab didn't waste any time. And she got under that crimson flow. And you know what that crimson flow, that scarlet thread, is a picture of the precious blood of Jesus. And may I say, God has called you to get under that crimson flow and to be saved. God has called you to come in and to come in and get under that scarlet thread. I'm talking about, listen to me, if you've been saved, you know what you are? You're a window of testimony to the scarlet thread. Hey, everybody, when we get to heaven, I won't look over and say, Steve, how'd you get here? Or Judy, how'd you get here? Or Jessica, how'd you get here? You know what we're going to say? Hey, we all got here the exact same way. Hey, we got here for by grace. Are you saved through faith? We came through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. That's how all men are saved. That's how all men are forgiven, on what Jesus did at Calvary. It's the blood that'll change you. It's the blood that'll cleanse you. It's the blood that provides forgiveness. The Bible teaches us in Romans 5 and 9, it says, much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. It's the blood that justifies us. We're natural justifiers. Did y'all know that? Every one of us are. We justify every decision, everything we do to favor it our way, to make it seem all right. But can I say something to you? We can't justify ourselves. When we stand before God, there ain't a thing we could say, a thing we could do. When we really see who we are in the light of His holiness, we would realize that there was nothing that we can do. And that's what God's trying to teach us now. But the Bible tells us through the blood of Jesus, hey, it is just like this. It is just as if I'd never been a sinner. When God sees me, thank God for this, He sees as if I can think back the things I've done. But thank God my record is as clear and crystal clear because I've been imputed the righteousness of Jesus Christ. When He sees me, He sees His Son. Thank God for that. Listen, it's the blood that justifies a man. Ephesians 1 and 7, hey, it teaches us this. It's the blood is where redemption and forgiveness is found. It says, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. That word redemption is a monetary term. It means to purchase. You realize that Christ paid the debt that we owed at Calvary, and He purchased our soul. Hey, He did all that needed to do that every man, woman, boy, and girl can be born again, can be saved, and have eternal life. It's through His blood that there's forgiveness of sins. Oh, thank God for forgiveness of sins. It's through His blood. Oh, I'm glad for this. In Ephesians 2 and 13, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. It's the blood that brings man near God. Oh, if you don't understand all these things, I'm glad for this. We're Gentiles. Most all of us in here are probably Gentiles. And you know what that means? We were far off. We did not have the law. We did not have the things that God had given the Jews in the Old Testament. We did not have an access to God until, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For hey, it said, the Bible teaches us in Galatians that when the fullness of time was come, God sent His only begotten Son born of a virgin. And He lived, listen to me, Jesus lived a perfect, sinless life. It was impossible for Him to sin because He's God. Matthew 4 is not whether or not He would have sinned. It's to prove you He can't sin. God can never sin, by the way. And listen to me, He lived a perfect, sinless life. And He died on an old rugged cross in a shameful, tormented, awful death in our place. He died as us. He died for us. And on the third day, they buried Him in that grave. And on the third day, He rose again. And you know what now? Because of that blood, you and I can go in. We can talk to God. We can have a relationship with God Almighty where our sins have brought us apart. God has made a way through the blood of Jesus. We can now be near. The Israelites understood that. They had the tabernacle. In that Old Testament, they saw that big white fence. There was only one way in. May I say something to you? There ain't many ways to God. There's just one way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. But they could see that door. And they could only go so far. But once a year, the great high priest, the high priest, would go. And He would take the blood of the bullock for the priest. And He would take the blood of the goat for the people. And He would go back one time a year and He would get behind the veil. The Bible tells us in Matthew that the veil was torn from the top to the bottom. And I'm glad to tell you today, you can know God. You can go in and pray to God. You can have a relationship with God Almighty through what Jesus did at Calvary. It's the blood that brings us near. 1 John 1 and 7. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. I want you to grab that three-letter word there at the end. All. You said, what does that mean? All of it, Sean. That's a simple enough for this little poker boy to understand. All means everything. The devil may bring up and say, well, God won't forgive you for that. And man may point up and say, hey, God can't forgive you for that. But the Bible teaches us. Let me say, it ain't what the devil says. He's a liar. It ain't about what society says. They're a fallen nature. It's about what a holy, righteous God in heaven says. The one that's got the authority. The one that's got the power to justify. The one that's got the power to cleanse. He says, listen, the blood of My Son Jesus will cleanse you from all sin. That means there ain't one reason for you to not leave here saved this morning. There ain't a thing you've done that God won't forgive you for on the basis of the blood of Jesus Christ. You ought to be saved this morning. It's the blood that cleanses from all sin. And I want you to notice, this story continues in Joshua chapter number 6. In verse number 21, I want you to see and picture this family, Rahab, desiring to see people get saved. May I say, a healthy Christian walk will have desire to see others get saved. If there's not a desire to see people get saved, you need to start working, start praying, start getting close to the God. Because the things that God cares about, we ought to care about. That's when our hearts get right with Him and we line up with what He would have for us. But I want you to think about this picture, hunkered down on the wall, somewhere on that wall. You say, how do I know? Because she let him out the window outside of the city. I don't know where it was, but here's what I know. I don't know this. Sometimes they say there's two walls. Sometimes they say there's one. But I believe, listen, every wall that was in that city came down except that one spot. There was at least one spot. When God looked down and destroyed, the Bible said they fell flat. There was one place
that in a window, he said, "Now wait a minute." He saw the blood. He saw the blood. And the Bible tells us in Joshua chapter number 6, it said they utterly destroyed all that was in the city. Both man and woman, young and old, and ox and sheep and ass with the edge of the sword. Judgment fell on Jericho exactly as God said it would. The wall came down. The city was destroyed. But under that scarlet thread, there was salvation. Under the thread, there was salvation. Listen to me, friends. I want you to grasp this today. God keeps His Word. Two facets we find here that God kept His Word. The first one is, He kept His Word about judgment. God is going to judge sin. He's told us that. He's not going to alter what He said. He's not going to change what He said. He's going to deal with sin. Just as it fell on Jericho, judgment will fall on you if you die without Christ. But the other part of His Word that He kept, and I'm glad for this, because that's all God can do is keep His Word, by the way, is those that were under the scarlet thread, they were saved just exactly like He said. And may I say something to you today? The Bible said that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. That first part is your part. Whosoever shall call. That's asking God. That's confessing our sins, calling on God in prayer. Tom does a wonderful job here. Somebody that's lost may not know how to pray. You can help them to get in that. They got to call on Him. And it don't take an oration or a thesis. You don't have to write and speak in some fancy manner. If it was, I wouldn't be saved. I read one prayer in there Peter prayed. That was pretty effective. Lord, save me. That'll work good. That'll work real good. But that last part it says, shall be saved. That's God keeping His Word. If you'll humble yourself, friend, and you'll call on Him in faith believing, He'll save you today. He'll save you today. He'll keep His Word. And I'm telling you, as we look at this passage of Scripture, there was a dear lady here that knew she couldn't save herself. She called on God, and I'm telling you, she put her faith in the Lord. And here's how I know that. In Hebrews 11:31, it says, by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believe not, when she had received the spies with peace. I believe others could have got in if they wanted to. Can I say something to you? Salvation fits everybody. There's not a person, and we divide in America, we think about more type of division and classifications and all these things than anywhere. I mean, they could divide us by what color shoes we got. I mean, I'm talking about we could go all the way through all of these different things. But let me say something. The real division is, are you lost or are you saved? But I want to say something to you. It don't matter your background. It don't matter your history, your heritage, the current, present hour, how much money you have, your skin color, your language. Listen to me. The gospel and salvation fits every single soul, because every single soul has the same need. We may not look the same. We may not be from the same place. We may not talk the same language. But I'm glad for this. Christ died for everybody, and all men can be saved. Just as it was in Jericho, it'll be now. Listen, you ought to be saved. You ought not leave this place today without being born again. You ought to humble yourself with knowing that judgment's coming. And God's going to deal with your sin. And God has graciously offered you salvation through what Jesus did at Calvary. There is by no means should you walk out that door. Amen. Everybody ought to be saved. Listen, all of Dunbar should be saved. I mean, we ought to have a sanctuary to fit 5,000 or 6,000 to get them all in here. You say why? Because the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. There's no reason for you to not be saved. You say, preacher, what are you doing here? Well, I'm telling you something. You have no excuse. And there'll be no excuse. For all the things you want to justify and rationalize, God will say, I sent my son for you. Christ died for our sins. There'll be no excuse. Just like there wasn't here in Jericho. Everybody that was under the scarlet thread were saved. And I want to tell you this today. If you'll by faith trust Him. Come on, Judy. Acts 13:39 says this. And by Him, all that believe are justified from all things. Rahab did not have a right reputation. Think of how she did not have a right reputation in the city. Probably looked down upon by people. There's all kinds of things we could go on. And we think about Paul. And we think about others throughout the scripture. Paul said he was the chief of sinners. I want you to grasp this today. If you'll put your faith in Jesus Christ, all things that you've done, you can be justified from all of them. The blood of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you. I wish I understood more than I understand now. And I just don't know how wonderful it's going to be when I get there. And I'm going. My name's there. I'm going. But I'm telling you. When I know myself and I see the things that I've done in my life and I know that I've got forgiveness and I've been justified, money can't buy that. There's nothing they can do. I'm telling you, I got peace with God today. Listen, that ought to be the most important thing in your life is to have peace with God today, and you can have that. It all comes through the blood of Jesus. But friends, you've got to get under the scarlet thread. You got to get under the blood this morning. That's the only one that's going to be saved is those that's under the blood of Jesus Christ. Because that's the only thing that will make a difference in our lives. And when we see Him one day, I'm going to see Him, Mark. I'm going to look on Him with a new body and new eyes. I don't know what all it's going to be like, but it's going to be like His. He's got us a model just like His. It's going to be wonderful. But forever and forever, I'll look. I'll be able to praise Him the right way. I'll thank Him the right way for what He has done for me. And I'm telling you, friends, it's good on the inside. If we'd have a testimony for those when the walls fell down, Don, those that were on the inside would let you know it's way better in here than it is out there. There is nothing in this world, not a person, a place, an activity, or whatever you want to name it. I wish I had more adjectives to describe it. There's not a thing in this world that's worth being outside and missing salvation in Jesus Christ.